Good evening and welcome to another edition of News Views. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WPFW 89.3 FM. We're going to have a great show. As always, I think my man Mark Levine is going to join us. He's out there
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
You there? So Mark's there with us. And today we're going to talk about Walmart. We've got some great guests calling in. We got our man Bill Witherspoon on the board. I would say on the ones and twos, but there's probably looks like about 20 slides out there. So on the ones through 20s. Do we have our guest in yet? We have our guest. No, not yet. Okay. We're going to have some great guests today. And we're going to be talking about Mark's favorite place, Walmart. I know that's your favorite place, right, Mark?
It's not my favorite place.
It's not your favorite place?
It's not my favorite place. I haven't been to Walmart in, I don't know, more than 5 years at least.
Well, you know what? That's good news, because that's something we got to talk about. We got to talk about Walmart tonight. And let me tell you, this is a study. Here's a study, and here's what we're talking about Walmart. Walmart is, Mark, I'm going to make this statement. Walmart is the worst place on earth. That's my statement for today. Walmart is the worst place on earth. I will not go to Walmart. The only way you could get me to Walmart, in Walmart, would be at gunpoint. And progressives who complain about the inequality, who complain about the burden that the working class and the poor are taking, and how well the top 1% and how easy they have it, should not be marching around in Walmart. Now, should they, Mark?
No, I've actually, now that I think about it, I think it's more like 10 years. I've been in a Walmart since I lived in Washington, D.C.
There you go. In fact, you've never been in one, right?
I may have gone to one as a kid. I don't remember. I put it this way, I can't remember the last time I was in a Walmart. That's true.
Oh my God! Well, let me tell you something. Did you know that the Waltons, the Walton family, the Walmart, that own Waltons, they are as of March 2013, they're worth a combined total of approximately $115 billion. Which,
all? Yeah, $115 billion.
A meager $115 billion, and that's roughly the equivalent of the bottom 30%. Okay, the bottom 30% of America. Does that sound about fair to you, Mark?
There are 5 members of the Walton family, and
100 million Americans.
About 100 million Americans, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we could really make a third of America better off if we simply confiscate the Walton's wealth.
Now you're talking. Well, we have a great guest. We have Mark Ulrich. He is it Ulrich or Ulrich? You there, Mark?
Ulrich.
My mistake. You know, I know his name all the way until the time that he comes on the air and suddenly my brain goes blank. Isn't that the way it works? We have Mark Ulrich, who is a county council member out in Montgomery County. He's going to join us, and there are a lot of he's a great guy. I've known him for years, and we're talking about Walmart, and I certainly wanted to bring Mark on, and I'm sure he has plenty to say. I mean, Walmart's trying to rear their ugly head in Montgomery County and everywhere else they can. And the point being made to my listeners here who are listening to News Views here on WPFW 89.3 FM. The point I'm making to my listeners is, the Walton family is worth $115 billion. They're worth somewhere approximately the same amount of wealth as the bottom 30% of America, yet they can't pay their workers a decent wage. That's what, to me, demonstrates what's wrong with America. Mark?
Yes, I mean, it's one of the things that bothers me, you know, greatly is the wage issue, because they basically have found a way to socialize the costs of labor. In every dollar that they don't pay a worker and that they have people, you know, working basically for poverty wages, means that the government, i.e. the taxpayers, has to subsidize the workers. So the health care they don't get to Walmart comes on my dime.
Right.
If they can't afford the housing, I'm supposed to figure out how to create affordable housing programs to house the workers. If the kids don't have enough money and they qualify for free and reduced lunch, we're paying for free and reduced lunch. So they've created a system where basically, and no Walmart can be more anti-socialist than any in the world. They hate socialism. They hate liberalism. They hate, you know, democracy, basically. But, you know, here's a company that's figured out that they'll just have the government pick up the tab.
Right. And they come in, and what's really terrible is when they come to town, they run the smaller businesses out. The businesses that pay people a decent wage, and what do you know, God forbid, actually give some of them benefits, they go out of business. The only place to work left is Walmart. And then guess what, Mark? You get to wear a nice big blue smiley face, but you and your family are probably going to have a frown most of the time.
Well, you know, there was one proposal to put a Walmart in a shopping center, and the original iteration of the proposal, all, you know, the shopkeepers would have been obliterated. And so it's not only a change in the workforce, it's a loss in the entrepreneurs. And, you know, obviously the owners of the businesses, the small businesses, you know, do make more than the workers, but that's, you know, part of your income base. It's also part of your skill base. A lot of these, you know, owners are, you know, minority businessmen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was reading an article and it talked about, you know, the loss of social capital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, entrepreneurial skills are really, really critical. And when you decrease the space for entrepreneurs to find a way to do business and you reduce everybody to wage employees,
mm-hmm.
You've done, I think, some real harm to, you know, society at large, to communities who aren't going to have small businessmen to look up to and say, yeah, I made it and this is the way you do it, is like, you know, sort of like you said, you know, you'll grow up, you say, put up my blue smiley face and hope that the government picks up the tab for everything else.
Yeah. We've also got Mark Levine. We've got Mark Eldridge and Mark Levine on the line here on WPFW on News Views. Mark Levine, you're still out there. Uh-oh, doesn't sound good. He's out there. I think, are you there or are the people from Walmart blocking your signal? That's a good conspiracy theory. Are they blocking your signal, Mark? Uh-oh. Things are looking kind of bleak for Mark. I think things are going down. He might have one of those track phones or something that he got from Walmart, and I think they're cutting it out on him. But at any rate, oh, wait a minute. Mark has escaped from the clutches of the evil Walmart, and he's made it into the studio with me. Mark.
Congratulations to me, but I don't know if my microphone's on. But yes,
you're on.
Yes, traffic was terrible, and I blame Walmart.
There you go.
So there you go. But the thing about Walmart that I'm trying to understand is how can they do it when others don't? I mean, I look at a reputable place like Costco, and they sell they sell at low cost, they sell high volume, yet they manage to pay their workers a decent salary. What does Walmart do that Costco doesn't do, and how does Costco compete against a place like Walmart?
How about just a different philosophy? I mean, it seems like, you know, the CEO of Costco makes a fraction of the money that the executives at Walmart make. They view that a well-paid and stable workforce actually is more productive for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different philosophical approach to business.
And yet
Walmart's
able to
not
compete,
obligated
though.
To follow that. Their view is we'll just make as much money as we possibly can.
It's a philosophical view that actually involves things like morals and ethics and
compassion
for yourself.
But here's the thing that gets me, though, is that economically – the moral people work too. Costco has not been run out of business by Walmart. Walmart will say, well, we got to keep these really low prices and these low wages because that's the only way we can stay in business because capitalism and we have to be really tough. But Costco, Sam's Club, there are other places that are similar that do just fine. Is it really about paying the Waltons family so much money? Is that the difference?
Yeah. I can't think of anything else. I mean, if Walmart's got, I mean, these people are amazingly profitable. I mean, you're not looking at a company that can argue that, you know, we've been forced to squeeze our workers because our bottom line is squeezed. They've been squeezing their workers. That's how they built their wealth. They didn't start squeezing because of it was tough to compete. They squeezed because it was a way to put most money in their pockets.
As an example, in 2012, the gross revenues for Walmart were $447 billion. That was the growth. Now, granted, that weren't the profit, but trust me, if you bring in $447 billion, you probably make a pretty decent profit. The fact of the matter is, with Walmart, there is no excuse. There is no legitimate reason that you could come up with on any moral or ethical scale as to why they treat their employees like they treat them. But even if we get outside of right and wrong and morals and ethics, and you being a county councilman, when a company says, I want to come to your venue, to your jurisdiction, and you're looking out for the people in your jurisdiction, you know, when Walmart comes to counties or cities or states or towns, they're not bringing jobs and money, as it were. They're actually costing the study after study shows that they aren't doing you any favors. They're costing you capital. They're costing you real dollars. They get tremendous tax breaks. They entrepreneurs and small businesses get run out of business. So the fact of the matter is, Mark, in my humble opinion, I think that our elected officials should be looking at more than just these, you know, barely minimum wage jobs that they bring in numbers, and looking at the big picture as to how they hurt the community, which usually is studies after studies showing now that Walmart is actually a negative in real dollars when it comes to your community.
Well, you know, we fortunately have not been asked to subsidize anything yet. And there is already one Walmart store in the county where, you know, they had no impediment in terms of zoning, and they've got a right to come in. But there are places they want to be where they can't get into unless they get the county to enact favorable zoning changes. And if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to do something for economic development, I'd like it to actually be real economic development. I've had these really interesting conversations with folks in the private sector and the business community who are like really upset that I'm not a big fan of bringing Walmart in here. And I got to say, it's the same people who come in and sit across from me and say, Mark, county government costs too much.
Yeah.
Mark, your social programs cost too much. You know, Mark, you know, we think you need to lower taxes. And then it's Mark, we think you should let Walmart in. And I'm like, guys, you don't want a welfare state? I don't want a welfare state. So why should I bring in a company that I'm going to have to pay welfare to? You don't want to pay the taxes to support the welfare. So why should I ask the taxpayers in Montgomery County to pay those taxes?
Mark, give it for us some detail. Just draw it out bit by bit, cost by cost. How? So Walmart comes in. What are the costs? Just name them off. Welfare.
Well, look, if they're paying poverty wages,
right,
good
usual.
Luck finding housing in Montgomery County. So the first thing is you're going to be looking for, you know, Montgomery County housing assistance. Or, you know, worst circumstance, you wind up doubled up, you know, in substandard housing because you can't afford to find something to live in. That's the first starting point.
Okay,
if you're
assistance.
Making poverty wages, somebody's feeding your kids in school. If you're making poverty wages, you don't have health care, you're coming to county health clinics.
Mm-hmm.
We spend, you know, real money on county health clinics. We have always in Montgomery County provided a pretty good safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the companies like Walmart rely on, you know, decent people like people in Montgomery County to provide services for people who essentially wouldn't be needing services if they didn't get inadequate wages.
So housing, health care,
food
stamps sometimes for families that can't afford to pay for food.
And then you get problems in mobility because families can't afford, you know, rents and they wind up moving all the time. Mobility impacts educational performance in schools. If people aren't stable in communities, then they're not vested in the communities because they're like, I'm not going to be here this year. I've got to go move someplace else next year. It is just a destabilizing factor. It doesn't bring anything of value. And I think, you know, I always wondered why Giant and Safeway, you know, don't take out ads. You know, you see those Walmart ads where they have the cost of food in Walmart versus the cost of food in Giant?
Right.
And if I was Giant, I'd put out an ad that said, and Walmart employees, this is how you are paying for them in your taxes. Our employees, not only aren't you subsidizing a Giant employee, they're actually paying taxes.
Which brings me to the other part of our conversation, and that is that while we as progressives and a lot of people that friends that I have that are progressives and people that I know that are very, very well-meaning and will have this discussion, that on Saturday you see them traipsing across the parking lot of Walmart going into, you know, and here's the reality. There are a couple things going on here. The way they have things set up, you know, with their you know, all of their psychological studies, they know they have things set up and certain sales set up and certain things exhibits, I'll call them, set up so that when you come in to buy two bags of tortillas for $4.99, you're there for an hour and you walk away and you spend $57.12 buying trash that you don't need because you could save 89 cents per bag on trash that you don't need.
But see, all grocery stores do that,
right,
Garland. Not to defend Walmart, trust me, but to me the problem is simply that they mistreat their workers. I mean, rather than the, you know, deceptive placing of all put candy in the aisle when you go out.
My point was this. My point wasn't that deceptive. It's this. it is people going to Walmart using the argument that they're saving money.
Well,
you
that's
say,
true.
I'm going in to save money. Well, the bottom line is this. Yes, all grocery stores do it, but they have everything. Everything the grocery store has, everything the hardware store has, everything the toy store has. So number one, there's a greater opportunity for you to spend more money. It's all set there, and you walk in and you spend more than you had thought. So even the concept of saving money for the average consumer is a fraud.
But Carlin, that's because the social costs are out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the store and you think you're saving money, no one's thinking, like, this employee's making so little money that how much of my tax dollars are going to subsidize them?
Right.
Or conversely, you know, like I said before, going into, you know, a store with decently paid employees and realizing this person is sharing my tax burden. They're actually kicking in money to the tax base to pay for the things of Montgomery County. And you don't see that. You don't think about it. I mean, it's just reality. People do not connect the social consequences of their actions in a wide range of things.
Yeah, that's the other part of what I'm talking about. So it all kind of goes together, and that is number one, you're not saving money in real dollar sense because you spend more than you planned on spending. And number two, you're not saving money even if you buy only the item that you wanted to buy because it's coming out of another pocket. You're spending it. You're and generally the savings in Walmart, if there are savings, are minute.
Well,
they're small, but the dollars that you spend in bringing people out of a miserable existence, which is what Walmart creates, a miserable existence for people, the money that you thought you saved is still coming out of your pocket.
And again, there are discount stores like Costco that don't discriminate, that don't mistreat their workers. So it's not like you even have to give up the discounts. Just go to one store instead of another store. And that's, I guess, the next question I have for you, Mark, is I know that workers have tried to unionize, and Maryland is a pretty strong union state. I understand when workers try in, frankly, my home state of Virginia or in Tennessee or in the South, they try to unionize, and the states are very anti union and they get broken. But why can't they unionize in Maryland, which is a pretty good blue, strong union state?
Well, you know, you can be a strong union state, but if you don't have unions that are actively out organizing, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I've raised this question myself about why there isn't a more aggressive effort, you know, to organize Costco workers. I mean, Walmart workers.
Right.
You know, part of this responsibility for organizing is with the unions themselves. And I just think they need to do more than just ask us to keep Walmart out. You know, if Walmart's going to exist, you know, they need to do everything they can to make sure that Walmart employees become union employees.
Do you have stories about Walmart breaking unions? I mean, where they've tried to unionize and not succeeded?
I haven't seen it here. You know, they just have the one up in Germantown right now, and I've heard about, you know, they've got a store in Prince George's County. I can't say anybody's ever walked in and said, you know, I can say for a fact they've tried to break the union.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about it is, if I had my way, you know, in a dream world, if I had my way in Maryland, we'd pass a law to say to Walmart, you have to allow your employees to unionize if they wanted to. And if Walmart said, well, then we'll just leave Maryland. And I'd say, oh, darn.
Well, that's one of the things I think that the Affordable Health Care Act, which the Republicans love to call Obamacare, I mean, one of the things it does, it doesn't unionize Walmart, but it does require large employers to offer a certain minimum health care if they have more, I think, than 50 employees. And Walmart certainly does. But I'm wondering if Walmart can get out of that by making all their employees part-time. Do you know whether they're going to have to pay health care under the new rules?
I'm not sure where they're going to qualify. I was reading something that said that they were no longer providing health care to employees who work less than 24 hours and that they consider a full-time job to be 34 hours. And I'm not quite sure how that dovetails with health care, but I know they also raised, and again, I'm reading from, you know, some stuff that I've been doing research on the web, and they said they raised the premium for Walmart workers who did get insurance, like 120% this year. But, I mean, if you can make it available, but no one says you have to make it available at the price your employees can afford to pay.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is Walmart has always gotten around that they'll schedule for 39 and a half hours, you know.
Well, 33 you know, and a half.
Yeah, that's right, you know, whatever the case may be.
Full-time.
If it's 40 hours, whatever the amount of hours is that's required, they'll just ensure that you don't get that. In fact, they have been sued before, and they have faced various legal actions for forcing people to work overtime, for doing a lot of very unscrupulous things.
That if we had a National Labor Relations Board, they would prohibit, because it's prohibited by law, oh, but the Republicans refused to allow President Obama to appoint anyone to it. But that's another issue. That's another
issue. Talk about other issues. I mean, one of the ways we could actually get at this, you know, through tax policy would be to put a tax on, a payroll tax, that was inversely in size, you know, inverse in size to the hourly rate.
Yes.
So the companies that paid, you know, a living wage would pay no payroll tax.
Right. Interesting.
The companies that pay, you know, below living wages, they'd have a higher payroll tax, so that I could actually afford to provide the things that a person's wages don't provide.
Now, Mark, that's never going to happen at the federal level, but at the state level, could you do that in Maryland?
No, we can't. I actually looked at, you know, could I do something like that even locally in the county, and we do not have the authority to impose those kind of taxes.
You don't, because the state of Maryland doesn't give you that authority?
No.
But they could. I mean, again, I look at Maryland like a thirsty Virginian in the desert, and I see all this water there. I'm like, but Maryland's a blue state. Maryland's the state where gay people get married. Maryland's the state where you pass a decent immigration law. Maryland's the state passed a strong gun law. Maryland can do all these things that we can't do in my home state. So I guess I look at your state kind of bated breath, so to speak.
Rose-colored glasses.
Well, maybe, but you're a blue state, and you know I'm from a purple state. Isn't that something you could get through the Maryland legislature?
I doubt it.
Really?
Yeah. Look, getting social issues through the legislature is one thing. Getting issues that, for example, we can't get combined tax reporting through the Maryland state legislature.
What is combined tax reporting?
It would require folks who have to do business in outside of Maryland to attribute the fair portion of their revenues to Maryland, and a lot of companies escape taxes.
Well, why can't you do that? It would seem to me
you don't have the votes to do that. We could,
but
do
Marylanders wouldn't have to pay. That's
he doesn't have the votes to do that. Maybe you're missing that part,
Mark. You always do.
Yeah,
you know. Doesn't mean you're progressive. It just means you're blue.
Well, I have a little bit of information for you guys. For your information, in Alabama, I'm going to ask you guys to guess which employer has the most the highest number of children on medical assistance in Alabama. Which employer?
I guess Walmart.
How about Arizona?
I guess Walmart.
Arkansas.
I guess Walmart.
Connecticut.
I guess Walmart.
Florida.
I guess Walmart.
Georgia.
I guess Walmart.
Iowa.
Well, I'm just winning.
Massachusetts, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire.
I should have a game show.
Yeah.
It'd be really too easy.
It would have to be all of the above.
Right.
Basically, when
always
you go throughout Walmart. The U.S. And it makes that point, doesn't it, Mark? It makes that point that state after state, jurisdiction after jurisdiction, the people in the jurisdiction pay for Walmart's miserly ways, and all of that money leaves here. Furthermore, they're buying their stuff in China and putting Americans out of work.
That's true too.
Do you got a moment for me to read a memo that's it was a memo to the Walmart board of directors from Susan Chambers, who is Walmart's executive vice president for benefits.
A feeling we're really going to like this.
Yeah, be our
guest. So it goes like this: this internal memo leaked to Walmart Watch. Assesses Walmart's current health care benefits and offers strategy to reduce the company's health insurance costs and neutralize criticism of its employment practices. Memo reports that only 48% of the company employees are enrolled in its insurance plan, compared to an average of 68% for national employers. Excessive out-of-pocket costs, including expensive premiums and high deductibles, are to blame. Quote, our coverage is expensive for low-income families, and Walmart has a significant percentage of associates and their children on public assistance, the memo notes. Employees enrolled in Walmart's insurance plan spend an average of 8% of their income on health care, nearly twice the national average. Almost 40% spend more than 16% of their income, a crippling cost for workers who earn less than $20,000 a year on average. Mm. The memo also reports that Walmart has a larger share of employees and their children enrolled in Medicaid compared to other companies. Quote, in total, 46% of associates' children are either on Medicaid or are uninsured, it notes. The memo offers strategies for reducing Walmart's health care costs, including the percentage of part-time employees, and designing all jobs to include some, and this is a quote, designing all jobs to include physical activity, e.g., all cashiers do some cart gathering.
Oh, no way.
The latter recommendation aims to, quote, dissuade unhealthy people from coming to work at Walmart.
Oh, my God.
Nice social policy.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that actually would violate the Americans with Disabilities Act because you could have someone in a wheelchair, or, you know, who could very well run a cash register but couldn't stock shelves.
That's right.
So now they're saying we're not going to hire you unless we think you're in really good condition because for God's sake you might need health care. Which begs the question: what happens if you're a worker there and your health starts to go downhill? Certainly, I think
you'll be fired.
Yeah, I would think that they would be a move afoot to eliminate those type of costly and expensive employees. So we're looking at in a nutshell, we are looking at a company. When we talk about what's going on in America today, when we see what's happening, you know, America, we've got a country now where the working people are suffering, when working people are losing more and more, and the answer is to take more from Social Security and Medicare and medical assistance, we are facing greater inequality than ever before, and we look at Walmart, and there could not be a more glaring example of what's wrong with America today. And that's why I'm making the point in this show. Besides all of the information that we have, I'm also making the point in this show that if you're listening to this show and if you have any agreement whatsoever with what I'm saying, that you shouldn't spend a dime in Walmart, nor any member of your families or anywhere else that you're not saving money there.
I'd be curious to know, Mark, what you advocate. Boycott is a possibility. It's certainly one that Garland mentioned. I certainly don't shop at Walmart. Is that what you'd like to see, or is there some possible? I mean, you're a city councilman. Is there some possible legislative solution? County councilman, excuse me. Is there some legislative solution to help?
You know, I can't find a legislative solution. I've looked, and you know, the best thing I can come up with at this point is just no subsidies, no assistance, no special favors, no nothing that requires, you know, us to lift a hand to help them. I've talked to some of Walmart's leadership here, and I said, look, you know, you deal with your wage issue and you provide health care to your employees. I don't care whether you come to Montgomery County and do business under those terms, but I'm not interested in you being here if what I've got to deal with is, you know, your current wage health care practices, you know, along with other things that they're kind of notorious for. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I think what, you know, all of us can do is say we don't want to do it. You know, we don't want to subsidize you. We're not going to assist you. I, you know, personally, you know, don't shop there. You know, like you said, I can go to Costco and get just as good a deal. I can go to Target and do pretty well.
Yeah, Target's good.
And frankly, I don't mind going to, you know, Giant and Safeway, you know, or, you know, my local food co-op, in fact.
Yeah.
You know, for other things I need. But, you know, sometimes I'll pay more for things if I know that the conditions under which they're produced or sold.
Right, or
better than the alternative.
You know, in the summertime, if I can find, you know, a roadside, you know, food produce stand where
that's
someone's
fresh.
Growing some squash and things like
that's
that,
the
I'm always
you could get.
Yeah, you know, I'm always going to go there first. And I think the points that being made here are very powerful points. And I think that our listeners, hopefully, our listeners are paying strong attention to it, and kind of getting the point here. And the other part is that. Personally, I don't want to see Walmart close down and disappear. You know, I'm not anti-Walmart just from the perspective of I hate the name Walmart. What
no,
I would love to see is I would like to see Walmart pay their people a decent wage and give them some benefits. And you know something? They could do it. Okay, so
and
they
I'd
only,
like to see the Ku Klux Klan give up
right.
their racial
but,
discrimination.
You know,
I mean, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, you made $16 billion last year. Okay, so you only made $11 billion. You know, so my
point is
you
call me
this.
A dreamer?
Yeah, but my point is this. People will say that, oh, you know, you're on the left, you're anti-corporation. The fact of the matter is we're not anti-corporation. We're pro-American. We're
exactly.
pro-workers. Well, we're going to have to take a 1 minute break here. You're listening to Garland Nixon here on News Views with Mark Levine. And Mark Elrich has been our gracious guest. I want to thank you for coming on here for the first half hour. And I really appreciate you being on here. And we hope you're a friend of the show and we'd like to see you back on again.
Well, absolutely. Anytime you want.
All right. Thank you. We're going to have to take a break. We're going to come back in one moment. Hopefully, do we have Andy Shalal on? Not yet. Well, hopefully Andy Shalal will come in. We're going to take some calls, 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. News Views, Garland Nixon, Mark Levine.
Hi. Hi, I'm Kiana Faircloth with your weekly WPFW Live Jazz Calendar. To submit announcements for WPFW's weekly Jazz Calendar, email me at jazzcalendar@wpfw.org. The Live Jazz Calendar is a public service of WPFW, your station for jazz and justice.
Hello, welcome back to News Views. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm right here with
Mark Levine.
And you're listening to 89.3 FM WPFW here in Washington, D.C. We're talking about Walmart. News Views is on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. And we have great guests. We had Mark Elrich, an at-large county council member from Montgomery County in Maryland. Great guy. And I'd love to have him on. And certainly we want to get him back for some other issues. And say hello to all those people out there in Montgomery County. Thank you for listening in. And, of course, for Joel Siegel, who's out there, my buddy Joel Siegel, great progressive. We've got Andy. Well, what do you know? Speaking of which, speak of the devil and he shall appear. We've got a call. Joel, welcome to WPFW.
Hello, Joel. Do we have him?
I think Walmart's blocking him, Mark.
I don't know.
We're working on it. We're going to get Joel on in any second. He's another great progressive. We're talking about Walmart. And the number is 202-588-0893. Join in. I mean, whatever you think. If you love Walmart, if you hate Walmart, if you agree with us,
bring it on. We really want to hear from you. Joel, are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, holy moly, Joel Siegel, the one and only. Welcome to WPFW. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Yeah, I know I sound a lot like that guy, Jim, He's someone who had a similar voice, but I'm not Jim. I'm Joel Siegel.
All right.
Well, first of all, Mark Levine, greetings.
Greetings, Joel.
This is a great show. Just want to give you some of my perspectives. Under Mark, you're an attorney.
Yes, I am.
Under Article 1, Section 8, the Constitution is allowed to regulate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't there be a movement to put pressure on Congress to pass a bill that states if you have a certain, you know, aggregate profit margin of, you know, a gazillion dollars a year, like Walmart or McDonald's or Kmart or Staples, that you must pay a maximum wage of a, let's say, $15, $20 an hour, or you cannot open up business in a particular area? Because labor unions, as powerful as they are, they really just fire you these days without much protection.
Right.
The cases that go in front of the Labor Relations Board take years. They're understaffed.
Well, they can't even do anything right now because there's five members of the board. There's only two, and the Supreme Court has ruled that they can't function without three, and Republicans are filibustering all appointees to make sure it can't work.
And they have also ruled that they cannot be appointed
during recess
appointments,
that's right,
which they have been for the last 25 years.
That's
so
true.
There's an argument case to be made that all of the findings of the NLRB for the last 25 or 30, going back to Reagan,
Basically, the Supreme Court is saying, we don't like the law Congress passed, and even though it's constitutional, we're just fine with Congress preventing the law from being executed, which they really can't do under the Constitution.
So, Joel, isn't this part of a vicious attack on the working class and on the working people in America?
It is, but see, the cool thing about America, that it's a democracy, you could not organize a movement in China and demand that the federal government pay higher wages to their workers, because they would either put a bullet in the back of your head or put you in a gulag for the rest of your life. And in America, history is replete with example after example that if you organize, you can create a better country. Why can't we bring together the unions, progressive business leaders, faith leaders, communities of color, students, form a coalition and demand that these larger corporations pay their workers a maximum wage? We created a minimum wage, which is way, you know, far too low. But is that not the role of government, to protect the consumer, protect the worker from, you know, the onerous power of corporate America? And I think it's time that we just do that. That's what I think we got to do. Congress should pass a law. It may take time, but we got women's rights laws passed, civil rights laws, gay rights laws passed, universal health care, or not quite universal health care, but why not just have them raise the wage? I think it's doable. That's what I think we need to do. Go to Congress and pass a law.
Thanks a lot, Joel. Certainly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
He makes a lot of good points.
We need a higher minimum wage.
That's
actually doable. Maybe not at $20 a level, but maybe 8 or 10.
We need to run some Tea Party members out of the house.
And
I think we got Remy here on. Remy, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, thanks, Garland.
Hey, Remy.
How's it going, Mark?
Wonderful, buddy.
Let me bounce this past you guys. I'll be interested in hearing your thoughts on this. I lived in a very economically depressed part of Chicago. I mean, it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart approached the city fathers and mothers and offered to put a store there. The area had high unemployment. They had virtually no small businesses. Walmart said they would put a store there. Jesse Jackson and some other community activists came in and said they did not want the store there because Walmart paid low wages and had horrible benefits.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
A neighboring jurisdiction, Evergreen Park, came forward and said, you can put the store here. And they offered them an $8 million package. I mean, the size of Evergreen Park, it was generous. So they moved on the bordering area of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So now that section where the store was originally supposed to go has no wages as opposed to low wages. I'd just be interested to hear your guys' comments.
Well, one thing I can guarantee you that would have happened. If you lived in that area of town and you had any kind of business whatsoever, and when Walmart came there, you wouldn't have had a business anymore. What businesses were there, I can guarantee you 90% of them would have closed down. So anybody who was there, who was an entrepreneur, who lived in that community, who had a small business, even though there wasn't much, you can guarantee those are all gone.
Okay, but what about the jobs? I mean,
see, this is the argument it's an argument that tugs your heartstrings. It's the argument people make all the time whenever you talk about, for example, low wages in China or Mexico or India. They're like, well, if you bring those jobs to America, what about the Chinese worker or the Mexican or the Indian worker? They also made this argument 100 years ago when we said you shouldn't have child labor or that you should have a 40-hour week and then you get paid overtime.
Right.
And they said, yeah, but if these workers are willing to work for 60 hours. The point is, when people are in dire straits, when they're in poverty,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they're going to take anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a complaint about the people.
Right.
That's a complaint about the system. And it seems to me that if you could get a Costco or a Target or other companies that are similar to Walmart but pay better wages, then the people get to shop at a place they like and the workers are better off and the community has to pay less in Texas and welfare.
Okay, great. But so Target is not willing to come in, or Costco, which mm-hmm. they weren't in this case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and the fact of the matter is, Eric, and that makes a case for the broad changes that need to be made. Because you can always find an instance like that. You can find an instance where, somebody be better off, riding on the back of the beast than they would, not having anything to ride on at all. So there's going to be individual cases where you could make an argument that the community
bus is better than walking.
You're right.
For example,
that's a fact. Yeah, right. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, they could have said it to black people in the 60s. Hey, you know what?
You know what they did? They walked.
You're right.
They did a bus boycott. And then they got to sit in the front of the bus.
That's a good point. That's a perfect example. When you got to ride in the back of the bus. Well, why should I? Well, riding the back of the bus is
better
than walking. And so
right.
they walked. But, yeah, your point as well is, I mean, it's a good point. And individually, you could make an argument, yes, it would bring jobs. But let me tell you what, as a city, would it help the city? How many businesses would it close down in that part and in other parts of the city? See, what studies have shown, Ramey, time and again, is that in a jurisdiction as a whole, when you bring Walmart in, it costs that jurisdiction money. When you counted the dollars at the end of the year that Walmart either brought in or took out of Chicago, that as a city, between the businesses that it closed down, now you're looking at Walmart as a big place. Not just the people in that community are going to be shopping. People from all over from all over Chicago are going there. Other stores, other businesses are closing down. Now you've got people who weren't even on social services before. So in real dollars.
And I'll tell you something else. When you pay people a decent wage, then they funnel it back into the economy. They have more money to spend, so they're going to buy more at their local restaurant, at their local hardware store, whatever it is. And then those people can be paid more. And so it's a virtuous cycle rather than a vicious cycle. You put in a Walmart, and now people are barely making enough to live or not even. And they're not earning enough to pay the hard-earned businesses. So it's always easy to say when you have unemployment, well, a job is better than none. And I got to tell you, Republicans every year say we should have no minimum wage.
Right.
Because if we paid them 50 cents an hour, that'd be better than nothing an hour.
Right.
But the answer is that it's called a race to the bottom, basically.
Yeah.
And you can always argue that a little bit is better than nothing. But sometimes, if everyone's racing to the bottom, you just end up at the bottom.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, if you just go by that community in the city, you may say, okay, it puts more jobs in that community. But if you look at the totality of the budget of the city, by the end of the year, the budget of that city is going to suffer. Because one of the things that Walmart does when they come in is they demand these gigantic tax breaks. So not only are they going to close down businesses, are people going to suffer, but the fact of the matter is those businesses in around Chicago that were locally owned and there was money going back into the Chicago economy, they're now sucking it out right out of your economy like a vacuum cleaner, and it's going elsewhere. We've got Anthony. Anthony, welcome to WPFW.
Gentlemen, thanks for the conversation. It's wonderful as always.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
I want to make a couple points. First of all, I mean, there's a difference between the minimum wage and a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
The minimum, of course, you know, given as a floor, I'm going to put out there that wages have been stagnant since the mid-70s, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, you know, a living wage was created to prevent the crazy inequality that we had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we have a different type of inequality, but changing the minimum wage into a living wage doesn't really address the fact that wages have been stagnant. So going from, you know, whatever it is now to $9, $10, $11, $12, $15 an hour, whatever it may happen to be, is still ignoring the underlying process. And I don't think people really, when we have this conversation, really understand that a minimum wage and a living wage isn't really, you know, a transportable idea. They're two different concepts based
right.
on two different metrics. And I think it's really important that we talk about that. Secondly, with regard to Walmart, generally speaking, I definitely don't think that anybody needs to be incentivizing a company like Walmart, which is, you know, so bare bones to the, you know, to the budget kind of a company, you know, to come into, you know, your metropolitan area, because there's very little that's going to actually come from it. But what I do find interesting is how we complain about certain rules, basically that Walmart is gaming the system. They're following the rules really, really, really well. And we point that out to be anomalous to other similar sort of businesses, or we compare them to businesses that don't have the sort of national and even international machine that Walmart does. You know, companies, generally speaking, try not to take, you know, employees over 40 hours if they can because it costs them extra money. So when Walmart does it, which is the West, but when Safeway does it, you know, we seem to kind of... So I think we need to develop a better sense of parity, and if we're going to force Walmart to offer living wages to not commit some of the abuses that we speak of, then we need to outlaw that process, period, for everybody, not just, you know, making these Walmart-specific rules.
Yeah, I agree with you, and part of what
wouldn't even be legal to make Walmart-specific rules.
Right.
You have to apply this, but what you do is ban practices that only Walmart and the worst companies do.
Yeah, and one of the points I'm making in this show today is...
what are those practices, though? I mean, if the practice is, you know...
One of them would be paying too low a wage. I mean, you
minimizing 40-hour weeks. I mean, you know, a lot of companies minimize 40-hour weeks. There are a lot of companies trying to keep as many part-time employees as humanly possible.
Well, I have a problem with that. I think if you can show that people are actively keeping part-time employees just below the rate at which you provide health care, I think you could pass a law against that. You could say, basically, and listen, things at the federal level are virtually impossible to do. Republicans filibuster and so forth. But that's why I kept bringing up blue state Maryland. Because Maryland, you can actually get things done. We've seen things go through the Democratic legislature signed by Kevin O'Malley. And that's why I think Maryland's a great laboratory of democracy, because we can actually try some of these progressive ideas that you could never pass in North Carolina or maybe even my home state.
And let me give you an example. If you put $10,000 or more in the bank, the bank is required to fill out a form that goes to the that goes to the federal government. So if you take a check, you get a check for $10,000 or $10,000 in cash, and you walk up to the bank, they have to report it,
right.
And you may be asked by the, you know, at some point, you know, and this is the deal with like criminals and drug dealers.
If you don't
and
pay
stuff
your taxes, that, right. The IRS could say, hey, we know you got $100,000 out in interest.
Yeah, you claim, you know, to have made $22,000 last right. year, and every week for 52 consecutive weeks, you put $27,000 in fives, ones, and tens, you know,
right.
and with rubber bands around them into the bank, there's probably going to be an issue. Now, here's my point. If you put $9,999.99 into the bank every week, just to avoid the $10,000, that is a crime. It is illegal to deliberately, that's one of the things they went after Rush Limbaugh for, in fact.
Really? But
it is a crime to, and that's for $10,000, for transactions of $10,000, but it's a crime to deliberately avoid that. Right? So my point is this. If you have to grant certain things to full-time workers, and you deliberately give people, if it's 40 hours and you deliberately go to 39.5 hours, in my opinion, there's no difference. It should be a crime to deliberately avoid.
Or at least a civil penalty, if not a crime.
Right. I get my point.
The kind of thing that the National Labor Relations Board would police
right.
if it were allowed to exist, which of course, again, that passed under a law passed by Congress. I think it dates back to the 30s. The president passed it. They don't have enough votes to overturn it,
mm-hmm.
so they basically defang the enforcement power. It's kind of like saying we can't get rid of the murder laws, but we're going to take all the cops off the streets and we're not going to prosecute any murders.
Yeah.
That's what they do with labor relations.
In fact, one of the things I've heard time and again is corporations want less government for the same reason that criminals want less police.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's actually a perfect analogy.
Yeah. And I think I believe we've got Tesla on the line. Tesla, welcome to WPFW.
Good evening, my friends. I will give you concrete examples of how what we buy, what we think is cheap, and how it's not cheap. First of all, how are those products produced in the farthest corners of the world? They are produced under dictatorships, which are totalitarian, which do not allow free labor unions and free associations like the government of Ethiopia. But let me give you an example. A long time ago, you could go to a Sears store, pay $10 or $15 more, and buy a pair of shoes which are light, leather, and lasting long. You could easily use it for 3 years very comfortably. Now, go to a store and buy a pair of shoes which are not cheap. For example, I bought two pairs of shoes for $80-some, and after a couple of years, the soles have peeled off, and I lost $160.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a store and tried to buy a pair of pants and a pair of shirts. When I tried them, like the collar on the shirt is from my.
But if you could test, but can you kind of direct this back as to where, you know, where to Walmart as to how this works with the conversation of Walmart? Because I don't want, you know, I don't want to get too far from the concerns that we have that we're trying to voice today about Walmart and how it treats its employees.
Here is how.
Okay.
You think you're buying cheap from a Walmart store? You end up losing money because goes bad in few
months. Well, that's true. The quality is bad.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a solid point.
The quality is so bad.
Right.
The public ends losing in all ways.
That's right. You think you have a bargain, but it's not really a bargain. You know, he's absolutely right. You buy shoes, and they're cheap, and they're like, oh, I got shoes for $40, and they go bad in 2 months. It's like, well, you better buy $100 shoes that last for several years.
Yeah, we got another. I believe we've got room for another call, right? 202-588-0893. We got a couple more minutes. 202 800-282-588-0893. Well, yes, and that's a good point. I mean, you go there and you buy a shirt for a couple of bucks and you wash it one time, the color's gone, and probably the color
shirt falls apart.
And not only is it gone, it's in the washing machine, it's in the in the rest of the clothes that you had that were a different color.
As they say, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. So, you know, you don't really save money. And as I said, you know, so many times people go into Walmart with the intent of buying one thing and they end up buying a dozen other things. So the fact of the matter is they think instead of going into whatever other store, they're going to spend less money. They're spending equal or more. Mm-hmm. They're not saving any money because they buy so many other things. And as I said, okay, so you go into a regular department store and there's sure going to be a lot of things presented, but Walmart's got everything presented. But we've got two calls, Mark.
Just real quick, Garland, and I, like I said, I don't think I've been to Walmart in more than 10 years, but my fantasy, I'm going to dream this tonight, is that if I did walk in a Walmart store and I saw that greeter in the front, the one with the big smile, I'd whisper to her, I can save you. I can get you out of here.
You know what,
come
Mark,
with me to a better place.
Mark,
really, they're not looking. Run!
Mark,
run!
If I saw you walking in you'd be walking in a Walmart store and you'd see somebody come running aside and I'd dive and tackle you and we'd roll across the parking lot. We've got Beverly. Beverly, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, thank you. I enjoy your conversation all the time, but
I'd like to
add one thing to the Walmart story. There have been studies recently in the last couple of years that show that in every place, every market that Walmart has gone into with new stores, the children of the full-time employees of Walmart are the biggest gluts on the, to use that term, on the state's government.
Right.
Healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The
they
children
cost money.
who are of the full-time employees mm-hmm. of Walmart, and sometimes both parents are employees of Walmart,
right?
Depending on their areas, but those children require more services from healthcare and other kinds of social services in the states that Walmart has put its stores in spite of the fact that Walmart gets all of these subsidies for being in that area. But they are basically a glut on the system, and they don't care. They also do a lot of wage theft where people are not allowed to be able to work the full hours and clock it in at that. They are very often required to clock out a couple of hours even before they're supposed to finish so that they're only getting paid for what is showing on the clock, and of course that's not the real deal. So they do a lot of
things. They need to do an undercover, 60 Minutes or someone like that needs to go in there. Or maybe just a blogger. Someone can pretend to work for Walmart. I'm ready for the next movie, like they did the one on McDonald's.
Right.
Someone needs to do a movie about Walmart where they pretend to be a Walmart employee, bring cameras in, and show the world those practices. Maybe Michael Moore. This is perfect for Michael Moore.
Right.
Someone needs
and
to ask him to do that.
And the other thing, too, that Walmart also dictates to the people who want their products on Walmart shelves as to how much they can charge in order to get their products in Walmart stores. So, you know, there's not a free market system out there because they're really making the same kinds of demands almost of their of the people who want to sell in their stores, not allowing them to set their own price range or anything like that or determine where in the store it's going to be. Walmart really dictates that, just like they dictate to their employees about how much they are not going to be making.
Solid points, Beverly.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Another thing about Walmart is this, that studies have shown recently the number of employees in the U.S. went down some. They opened more stores and had less employees. Basically, they're working people more. They're working people harder. Fewer people, more stores. We know what that is. So I think we've got another caller. Jomo? Jomo, welcome to WPFW 89.3 FM.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I just had a couple comments, and I'd like to hear your response. What I was thinking is that I had a store a few times, and people only care about how much things cost. For instance, we were selling paper towels for 99 cents a pack.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one lady, she wants to buy it for 89 cents a pack. So she says, we can get them at Walmart for 89 cents. But I told her, I said, well, the only thing is, it's going to cost you 10 cents to go to Walmart. Also, you have to navigate the line, wait 20 people deep in line, and for 10 cents. But people will do that. The other thing, other comment I said thinking is, most of the people in these communities where they put these Walmarts, those people do not own those businesses. Like, for instance, in Prince George's County, they used to have this thing talking about, we want to protect the businesses in the county. Well, here's the problem. 90% of the people that own the businesses in this county don't live in this county. And the third thing I like to say is, you have people who do own businesses, and they rob those people in those neighborhoods. Because I grew up in a city, and those little corner stores, those mom-and-pop shops, they used to rob us. The only difference was they didn't have a gun. They would just take all of our money for nothing. And that's the type of thing that allows people like Walmart to come in.
Let me give you some facts about Walmart. Here's a couple facts. Number one, a 2009, it's interesting that Ramey was talking about Walmart in Chicago. A 2009 study found that 25% of competing businesses within a 1 mile radius of a West Chicago Walmart closed within a year of its opening. 40% closed by the second year. Wow. While local business dollars stay in the community, big box retail dollars tend to go out of state. A study in Maine found that 53.3% of funds spent at local businesses stayed in state compared to just 14% in big box stores. The 2012 Walmart grocery stores that would be projected to open, well, this is an L.A. study, but basically this is what it said. They were projected to open in L.A. County would result in a net loss of 8,700 jobs and $621 million reduction in wages.
That's really important. That addresses Eric Ramey's point. What you're saying is that opening a Walmart leads to a net reduction in jobs. In other words, yes, more people get hired because of Walmart, but then so many people lose their jobs because local businesses go out of business that it's a net loss. And that's a real important point.
And here's the bottom line. The projection was this. Almost 9,000 jobs would be lost and a $621 million reduction in wages for employed retail workers in the county. So people are going to lose their jobs, but some of them are going to have to come up to Walmart. They were making decent jobs. The reduction in wages, they hire people, but they put people out of business. And they bring people in there because where else are you going to work? And they do that a lot in these small towns. You go down south, every small town has a Walmart and not much else.
It's like a company
because
town.
Because people in that town, they used to have a flower shop and you know, you go over and you talk to Joe at the hardware store.
That's right.
And people knew each other, a little friend.
Ice cream shop.
Well, guess what? They're all gone. And now all those people who were entrepreneurs, who had control of their lives, who passed their businesses on to their children, et cetera. But now they're standing there with a blue smiley face, getting nothing, starving, and now they're going social services. The last call, we only got a minute here. We got 60 seconds, RG. Sorry to cut you short, but we do want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, thanks, guys. How's it going this evening?
Wonderful. Good.
Just wanted to say that there is a sidestep the analysis of Walmart in lieu of the time, but the delimitous theorem to the fact that you spend $100 is that nothing is made with the quality that it once was, no matter where you buy it. You could go buy it at Neiman Marcus or you could buy it at Walmart. And that's unfortunate, and I wouldn't say necessarily because so many things are made overseas, although in recent months there has been some analysis that it's hard to enforce quality controls overseas. So by a lot of companies that outsource their manufacturing operations and so forth. So yeah, you're just not getting your dollar's worth the way our parents did. So that might be a consideration you might want to discuss for future reference.
Yeah, you go into Walmart, and what do you see? You go into Walmart, and you see people who are 40, 45, 50 years old. You know, I can remember a time when I was some years ago, when I was a younger man, you wouldn't go into a place like Walmart and see people that were 45 or 50 years old. Why? Because they could get decent jobs.
Right, who were working after school or whatever.
They had decent jobs. They had families to support and kids to send to college, and they had decent jobs, and they didn't work. Now you go to Walmart, it's sad. You see people there who are 60, 70, 75 years old walking around Walmart for minimum wage.
Garland, you said you don't go to Walmart.
No, I don't anymore.
Okay.
There was a time when I went to Walmart. I was one of the blind.
All right. But now you can see.
But now I can see.
All right. Well, I'm glad you see the light.
That's right, Mark.
You saw the light.
Yes, that's it. I have seen the
light.
I
caught guard of that contradiction.
I know about Walmart because I have been there. Okay. I've been in the belly of the beast.
I've been there very few times.
I have seen the evil from inside, and it wasn't a pretty sight.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And our point is, Mark, and I think this is the point we need to make in closing. And the point is, you know, there are a couple things. You know, when there was a healthcare bill out and the owner of Whole Foods was railing, he's some libertarian, railing against any type of, whether it's single payer, which you and I are clearly for, or any type of increase in medical.
The nice thing about single payers, employers don't have to worry about healthcare anymore.
He railed against it while he doesn't pay his workers decent. You know what? the people at Trader Joe's pay their people pretty good. You know where I go instead of Whole Foods?
There you go.
I go to Trader Joe's. The guy at Costco makes the president of CEO of Costco makes a decent amount of money. But the CEO of Walmart makes more in 1 hour than his employees make in a year.
Yeah, that's just
guess
crazy.
Where I go.
That's just
I go
crazy.
To Costco. I don't go. So there's a civic responsibility we have, an accountability that we have that says, decide, you know, the old saying, vote with your feet, vote with your pocketbook. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, I ain't going to Walmart. How about you, Mark?
I ain't going to Walmart.
Thanks for listening. Look, coming up next, we've got Robin's Place, which is good music. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. So stay tuned. Now that you've heard Mark and I rail for an hour about Walmart, you won't be going to Walmart, so you'll be listening to Robin's Place and hearing some really, really good music. Thank you. Bill Witherspoon is out there making all kinds of amazing things
happen. And
we'll talk
to you next week at 6 o'clock.
6 p.m.
Thanks for listening to the just completed Public Affairs or News Program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.
WPFW, Washington.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything's starting to hum. Still, it's a real good bet the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and baby.